Okay, so some big names in the tech industry have banded together to create a new nonprofit called Project Include. I love what this is all about. Joining us today to talk all about this new project is Ellen Pao and Erica Joy, two of the founding members of Project Include. How's it going to both of you?
Pretty well. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing
fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Oh, are you kidding? It's our pleasure and it's an honor to get you both on the show today. Obviously, you know, in episodes past, we've talked a lot about diversity, inclusion, particularly in the tech space. So it's awesome to get you on, and I love to see what you guys are doing with this project. Where, and I mean, I'll just kind of throw this out to both of you and see what you have on kind of the state of technology when it comes to kind of these recurring issues right now. Basically, what moved you to kind of create Project Include?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
All right. It was, I think, the same thing for most of us. We had these conversations about how frustrated we were with the lack of progress or with the same ideas being rehashed but not working. And we thought, well, we can come up with a better plan than this. We can use our shared experience. We can use the research that's out there and hopefully convince people to start taking different actions that are going to actually have a meaningful impact on diversity in tech.
So who's the focus? Who are you aiming this at?
We're aiming this at startups that are around 25 to 1,000 employees. It's harder to turn a tinker. Right. So companies that are, you know, tens of thousands of employees, they have a lot more work to do than we can probably help them out with. I mean, some of our recommendations will definitely be useful for them, but we are aiming at smaller companies that are more nimble and able to change quickly.
Now, OK, so you kind of touch a little bit on kind of the background and experience of, you know, the eight of you that are kind of starting this effort. Tell us a little bit about the people who are involved, because you guys are doing this not necessarily as a full-time job. You're kind of fitting this in around your busy schedules on the side, but you've got some really important people involved.
Right. Do you
want to
go?
All right. I'll do the ones and then maybe you can fill in the ones I don't forget. Obviously, Erica, who has great experience from Google and is now at Slack, and she's been an engineer for over 20 years, and she's really thought about these issues and been looking at these issues for a long time from a very thoughtful way. We have Yvonne Hutchinson, who is also working on it, and she has been working at a diversity consulting firm and has been very thoughtful. She's been working with several tech startups right in the sweet spot of what we're who we're trying to help. We have Susan Wu, who is an entrepreneur and investor, and she is also at Stripe, and she has been in this world for, I think, 30 years in tech. We have Frida Kapoor Klein, who has been an investor and worked at Lotus in the early days, has been in tech for the past 40 years.
We have Laura Gomez, who worked at Twitter and now and also YouTube, and now runs her own startup, Atypica, which is focused at removing bias from the hiring pipeline. Bethany Blount, who was former Inge director, I think, at Reddit, and also was at Linden Labs, is now working on her own startup. And then we have Tracy, I always forget how to pronounce Tracy's last name.
Chow.
Chow. Okay. We have Tracy Chow, who has been working on diversity for quite some time. She started many of the conversations, especially around collecting numbers. Now she's at Pinterest.
Well, Erica, I love what you said about how you can't move a tanker. And I want to say this, because neither of you did, that you both tried very hard, and we thank you. So how did you all find each other? Was it just that you all were working alone in this space? And how did you find each other to form this group?
The internet is magic. Right, so I think Ellen was a catalyst for a lot of this. We'd follow each other on Twitter for some time, and I believe Ellen probably followed a lot of people. And so she reached out to me, and we, you know, had a discussion about our ideas about fixing the issues around diversity and inclusion in tech. And Ellen had similar conversations with other people in the group. And that's how we all found each other. I introduced Yvonne just because I was like, wait, Yvonne is amazing, and she is doing a lot of good work in this space, and we need to get her involved. And so, but Ellen was mostly the catalyst for getting us all together.
So I found people that I admired. So people who had done something to try to change tech. And I thought what Erica did with the spreadsheet at Google, where she had an open spreadsheet to gather compensation from different people and showed a gap in how people are paid by gender and by race, that's extremely impactful. It's not something that most people would do. Mm-hmm. And for her to take a stand and really put in the effort and take some risk impressed me. Same thing with Tracy, to go out and tell companies, you need to start writing down what your numbers are. Look at how many people you have who are, you know, who are women or who are from underrepresented groups, and actually track like what it looks like and be held accountable for what lack of diversity is actually in your company. So the, you know, finding people who are willing to take a stand at risk to themselves was kind of how some of this came together.
It really kind of seems like accountability, transparency, those are super important for kind of coming to terms with, you know, the elephant in the room, that there is an issue when it comes to diversity and inclusion in tech. What kind of tools is Project Include offering to CEOs of these companies? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, a big part of what you're doing is you're raising awareness, giving people who want to make a change or who want to kind of create a responsible business the kind of knowledge and information that they need to kind of steer the ship in the right direction. What are some of those tools that you offer?
So we've got many recommendations. I think the entire document is, what, 85 pages?
It's now over 100.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah. Over 100 pages of recommendations and guidelines for companies to try to build a diverse and inclusive culture. Ranging anywhere from hiring to retention to sponsorship to mentorship. We have stuff in there for VCs. It's just very wide-ranging and broad, because we wanted to address all the places that we could see where bias kind of creeps up and areas that, you know, companies don't typically look at for building diverse and inclusive workforces.
So part of what you said is that there's been a lot of talk, but not a lot of change. Ellen, I'll start with you. What if you could point to one or two things, one or two reasons why there hasn't been any change, what would those be?
I think the biggest thing is that it's actually quite hard, and it involves a lot of change. It involves making very hard trade-offs and having hard conversations about them. So, you know, if I have to decide whether or not I want to hire more people or hire people who are going to be diverse, it's going to take me maybe more time and energy. If I'm a company that doesn't have much diversity, it's going to take me extra effort to recruit people and get them to want to come to my company. So do I make that trade-off, or do I hire the people because I have a lot of work to do and I want to get it done?
Now, obviously, working with a small to medium-sized business or company, you know, makes the job, I suppose, a little bit easier, because you can create a culture around those guidelines and kind of build around that. And you had mentioned that, you know, turning around the large ship that is a giant corporation is a big, you know, big, huge hurdle, has many hurdles, in fact, in front of them. But it's still super important, and they definitely need help. What are some of the, why is it so challenging? And what do you think, you know, for those larger corporations, they can even do to address this in a meaningful way?
I first think that corporations can have their leadership take an active role in addressing these issues, right? There are some things that individual contributors can do. There are some things that mid-level managers can do, but ultimately the CEO or someone in the C-level position in the company has to be the one who drives the conversation and the initiative forward, because they're the ones who have the power in the company. People listen when they say, we need to get this done, right? And I don't see that a lot coming from the larger companies. I think there's some education that needs to happen for some of those C-levels. And I think once that happens, and I think Project Include is a great place from the start. Once that happens, I think we'll start to see some real change. And like Ellen said, there's a lot of hesitancy to get to those real uncomfortable discussions. And unfortunately, those uncomfortable discussions are where the change happens. Mm-hmm.
So we've been hearing a lot about the tech bubble is about to burst. You know, companies aren't getting funded. Do you think that is going to have an effect? Do you think like all of these diversity talks were, oh, well and good when, you know, the industry was booming. But do you think that's going to have an effect? All these rumors that the bubble is about to burst?
Well, I don't quite believe that there is a bubble, so I question the premise there. I feel like everything in life has its ups and downs, right? And tech is in an upswing right now, and it may go into a downswing tomorrow. It may go into a downswing 2 years from now. Who knows, right? But I feel like at the point that we hit a downswing, it'll be very important for companies to have this stuff baked in already, because then they don't have to make any changes. It's just part of who they are, part of their culture. Mm-hmm. But we're not at that place right now. So now is a great place for them to start building it into their culture.
Well, it's fantastic. I love what you're doing. And I can't wait to kind of follow it along and see what kind of change that you can make just for the new companies. It really seems like that's what this is going to really help, is kind of lay the groundwork for, I don't know, I guess the grand scheme is a new kind of generation of companies that makes this a priority from the beginning. And I think that's incredibly important. So lovely you guys do.
What should startups do if they're interested in getting involved and getting your guidance? What should they do?
On projectinclude.org, which I see is down in your lower third. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have on our about page, there's a link that says join us. And that's a forum that companies who are interested in working with us can sign up.